Hello and welcome to GHL Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And we are bringing back a beautiful, sexy guest with maybe the best hair of any guest we've ever had.
That's
Mr.
True.
Brian Tong. Welcome back.
Woo, thanks for having me. Always happy to be here. Hey, this is the Patreon exclusive where I heard we can say naughty words.
We can. We can say grown-up words.
Unload those fucking words. So Brian, like, yeah, you're a big video game guy. You're a big tech game guy. I mean, you talked a lot about on the main episode about Sega Dreamcast, which is awesome. I mean, you talk about the Dreamcast a lot. So I want to ask you a quick question before we get to some of your favorite video games and favorite video game consoles from your childhood and stuff like that. Where do you think the fall of Sega was? You know, because like, it seems like it's somewhere between Dreamcast and Saturn.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think really the fall of Sega just had to be due with the fact that they were too unique, in my opinion.
That's fair.
They were so unique that in the market that you either kind of loved them or you were like, this is kind of too weird for me. You know, one of the examples is Dreamcast had an incredible game, right? I don't even remember the whole Tamagotchi age where you could like do a virtual pet on your keychain, but they had a game called Seaman. Do you remember this? Or do you know about this game?
No.
Okay. So this is how quirky they went, and I bought it and I loved it. Seaman was a game where you basically raised a tadpole into a fish, but he had a man face. The way that you
Brian
check it out, okay? The way that you raised this creature, this Seaman, was that the game had on the Dreamcast controller, they had this like kind of modular.
I was just about to ask you, isn't that the thing where it had like the little window on the controller?
Did you know there's a Seaman too?
Yeah, yes. Okay. And so here's the thing. Here's what's weird about it. In that modular window, they made a microphone accessory. So in order for you to help this Seaman grow, you would have to talk to it. You would have to like teach it things and it would respond back to you and answer questions and remember your name if it showed up on the list of names. Like, it was a weird, it's a fish with a dude's face on it. That, if there's not the epitome of why Dreamcast was so great but also so bad, that is the game. I mean, there's a ton of others that I can talk about that were so unique, but Sega made an effort to just do things that people never did. And that's why when I grew up as a kid, my very first system was a Sega Master System. And I kind of stayed on that Sega track for a while while other people stayed in Nintendo. So I'd always play Nintendo games at my friend's house. But I was a Sega guy in general. Another quick game. Are you guys familiar with the game called Samba de Amigo?
No.
Oh, God. Look this game up. Samba de Amigo was a music rhythm game that involved you holding two maracas. Okay. The maracas then had this system where instead of like a dance pad, like Dance Dance Revolution, it had this bar that you'd put on the ground that was a sensor.
It would sense
if you held the maracas at a high position, a medium position, or a low position. In the game, it would be syncing up to songs like Livin' La Vida Loca, just like classic kind of, Latino
songs. I remember
songs.
This game. I remember seeing this game.
You'd
now.
Shake the maracas middle, high, alternate. You'd pose. That game, I have the entire Samba. Man, this is what we should play when you guys come over, whenever I get my act together.
Yes.
Samba de Amigo is incredible.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy because now there's like a Samba de Amigo for Wii. I mean, like, yeah, I will say, like, back in the day, I was always a Mario guy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always liked the Super Nintendo but even back then I was like, the Sega Genesis has the more exciting games. If you just like the standard Marios, and I've always that's why I was like, oh, Nintendo's great for me. But yeah, Sega really like always like pushed the envelope. And like, how do you feel that like Sega basically like was absorbed by Nintendo?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they basically became like, they had to become a software company at a certain point because they just weren't selling enough consoles. And so I think even in today, Sega does make games, but to me, it was just more sad, like anything, competition and diversity. Like, Nintendo really did take up that more quirky, unique game space, but Nintendo was just so much more mainstream about it, right? I mean, Nintendo's not going to make a game where you talk to a human fish over a microphone. But they might make a game where you're a fish that's cute and quirky, that has great adventures, and everyone ends up loving that fish character, right? And so I think Nintendo really was able to tap into their audience and understand, like, we want to be unique and quirky, but not over the top quirky. And also, I feel like in general, Nintendo's games, one of their tenets feels like they want to elicit joy when you play it, no matter what it is. And so I think that has always kind of held through as one of the fundamental reasons why Nintendo is still here and maybe why Sega's not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was gonna also make the thing where it kind of also feels like Nintendo's always like, well, how can we make this Mario? Mm-hmm. Or like, how can we make this a Mario analog?
Yeah, but that's like, in my opinion, a great question. Sure. More Mario.
Sure, it is. Sure. There's never enough Mario. Like, quite honestly, like, they have shown that Mario's been able to evolve from 2D to 3D, and it still works. The charm is there. The love is there. And no one's getting tired of Mario anytime soon. No one's even getting tired of Sonic. It's just that Sonic's platform just didn't last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at that. I mean, like, I think at this point you could say that you could make the case that Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, might be the most successful video game movie of all time.
I don't even think that's an argument. I think that's a fact.
Simply off of box office. So, Brian, what was your first video game console?
First video game console was the Sega Master System, and I think the first really super popular game I played on it was Shinobi. Do you remember Shinobi?
I remember arcade. I do not remember the Master System, so that is blowing my brain a little bit.
The Master System, you can look it up online. It came before the Genesis. I don't think, was there anything in between the Master System and the Genesis? I don't feel like there was.
I don't think so, but 83 is what it's saying, and then they updated it in like 85 and 86, apparently.
Yeah, the Sega Master System was a jam. It had Double Dragon, and it had Shinobi on it. So those are like classic arcade games that you could only play in the arcade, right? There's a day and age where we couldn't play the best games at home. We had to go to arcade to play them. And so, Golden Axe. Golden Axe was also a Sega game.
Oh, yes.
It's so funny rolling down the Sega Master System Wikipedia page. I just came across a thing that I'd completely forgotten existed, but one of my best friend in school had this. The Sega Game Gear, the Game Boy copy. I remember that fat black thing that my friend had.
But it had a color. It had a fully color screen.
It was fully color, unlike the Game Boy, which was only green.
I remember when Game Boy Color came out, and it like blew everybody's mind.
Yeah. It was amazing. So Sega Master System was my first system, and I kind of just stayed on that track the whole way.
Wow. So
Brian's loyal. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. So have you flipped over to, once Sega was absorbed by Nintendo, are you like now a Nintendo guy? Like, or is that how you're sort of following the Sega legacy now?
I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like an everything guy, because as you grow up, you kind of at least have a little more disposable income. So I've been like more of an Xbox and PS5 console guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, here's the thing. I have a Switch, but I'm so busy that I haven't opened it up yet. And it's been like, I got the Switch OLED, and I think it's been at least 6 months.
Oh boy.
Someone's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Give that to me. Sometimes, we get busy, and so I haven't even been able to crack that sucker open. Yeah, but I'm more of a console gamer, and now because of limited time, I'll jump in and play like a fighting game. I'll play a game of NBA 2K for half an hour. Maybe jump around and goof around and play Fortnite with my nieces and nephews for half an hour, but I don't play longer than, maybe an hour or two, unless it's a game that I'm really ready to get invested in.
Well, no, because you're a working family man. We get it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
You know, you got to have the days of like staying up till 3 a.m. playing a video game are gone.
those are great days. Those are great days too. Oh my god.
Yes, I remember that. Like it's the same.
It's the same thing with streaming. When streaming shows, I'm not staying up till midnight.
Yeah. When these people are like, I binged all 13 episodes in 2 days, and you're like, oh boy.
Like, didn't you have to eat? They're like, no, I didn't. I'm like, well, I'm not you anymore.
Yes, that's what I always say as well. That's crazy. So like, let me ask you this. From the Sega days, besides this Maracas game that you just blew our minds.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. You got to watch the videos of it.
What any games do you think stand out to you from your childhood? And any games do you think that might stand the test of time? Like if they were to up-res them and you were playing them now, like what do you think would stand out?
Well, I think that Sonic the Hedgehog has to be one of those games. You know, I mean, Sonic and Mario are like, they were the two rivals. They haven't really made any recent Sonic games for a while, but like you said, he lives in the movies now. And Mario hasn't had a successful movie per se yet from like a critical acclaim and major box office numbers,
which is kind of shocking,
right? Right. And it's because you're right. I think the adaptation with was it Bob Hoskins?
Yes, the live and John Leguizamo.
Yeah, John Leguizamo
and the late great Dennis Hopper.
You know, it was a different time, and it just didn't stick the landing. So I think people have kind of stayed away from it for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if an audience, if it's an animated movie, it might work, but live action, I don't think anyone's
it
asking
might,
for
it
that.
Might work in an animated movie, I think, because you know,
I'm dying to go to Mario Land though.
Well, yeah,
oh,
I think like everybody else, you know, when I'm playing any Mario video game, the first thing that I think in my head is, you know, boy, this would be so great if it was voiced by Chris Pratt.
I'm glad we all just had the, I mean, nothing against him personally, but I know we all had that gag reflex. I'm like, what?
Look,
kudos to whoever his agent is. I'll give him that.
I will never knock anybody taking a paycheck. I just don't see Chris Pratt as Mario.
I'll never see Chris Pratt as Mario.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, so interesting. So yeah, I don't know. Brian, if somebody out there, you know, is listening to our podcast and they're saying to themselves, like, I've been thinking about getting into like console gaming or even PC gaming or internet gaming, like, where would you send somebody? Somebody that has, you know, maybe they haven't played since the Nintendo and Sega games, like of the 90s.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get back into it. Where would you point them to?
So I don't have any console loyalty per se. I don't have any, I'm not sponsored by any of the consoles, right? So I want to make that clear because sometimes people don't even say that stuff, right? To me,
By Atari. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, my bad. My bad. Let's break it out. I think that to me, for someone who's really like trying to figure out how to get into gaming, I think they need to find a game first because like these consoles are so amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of them have games that aren't on each other's platforms. And you kind of got to figure out, okay, what is the first game you're even going to want to attempt to get into based on what you see and what you hear? Because there's established franchises that might be overwhelming and actually might not be as fun to play if you've never played them from its history of 10 plus years, like a Halo or something like that, right? So I don't necessarily have specific advice, but I would say if you were able to get your hands on one, to me, the PS5 is still the console to get right now in general based on the exclusive titles it has. What sets it apart for me is they have this feature on their controller called DualSense, and we all know that controllers have been able to vibrate for the longest time to simulate action, but this controller, the way that they've built it, it has motors all through it, so you could feel like a wheel or a blade of grass almost move through the back of the controller in space. It doesn't just rattle, it moves from one side to the other, and there's a lot of real crazy things that this controller does that makes the game more immersive and kind of goes like, oh, whoa, this is wild. So I think that it's kind of a new sensory experience for a console that we just haven't had ever before. And if you can get them, I'm going to tell someone to like jump into the PS5 first.
That's fair. I've been trying to get one for quite a while.
Can't you know,
send
it.
One to us.
Can't find it. And no one, then don't, I mean, literally, I'm going to tell people right now, don't feel like your FOMO. Do not pay $800 to $1,000 for a console.
No.
Thank you. Do not let
Sony figure that out. And unfortunately, the sad thing about it is there's people out there that are trying to manipulate the market. There's people that are literally sitting on warehouses of thousands of PlayStation 5s in hoping to sell them for these ridiculous scalper prices because they want to control the market. Like, it's a fact. And it's just wrong. It is wrong to the spirit of gamers. It's wrong to the spirit of just being a good human. And so don't fall for it.
Nice. I think it's good advice. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us on our Patreon extra episode. Please let our listeners know where they can find your awesome content online.
Yes. Thank you for having me, everybody. Everybody, Ashley and Jason.
Hey.
And all the listeners.
All the listeners
out there.
Yeah. And listeners. If you want to find out kind of about the latest in tech and geek culture, just go to youtube.com/Brian Tong. Pretty much if you, put in Brian Tong anywhere, BRIANTONG. That's where you'll find me and my hot takes and my good takes and my bad takes and comic books and movies and whatever else is out there that, you know, we all love being a part of this. And so in the geek culture space. So that's where you find me.
Nice. Well, thank you again, man. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Yes.
And, you know, if we get to come over and play, I've already forgotten the name of the Maracas
Samba
game.
Samba.
Okay, this is what we do. Samba de Amigo. Look it up. Samba. Message me after this recording and, you know, just tell me what you think about it.
Samba de Amigo. I don't even have to watch it. I'm just telling you, we're going to do it.
The videos are so hilarious. So if nothing else, watch the video.
So good. It's so good. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, man. Have a great day. And everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support here on Patreon. It's because of you that we can record these extra episodes. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye, super friends.